satisfied with how well things went?
Yeah, it was a great weekend. I mean, from our perspective, so, you know, IndyCar, we came into practice and qualified on Friday, warm up and raced on Saturday. The race was, we felt like a really good race. If you look at in May here, we had like, we have data on everything nowadays, right? You analyze everything you do. So at the race here in May, the road course race, we had like 148 on-track passes. This past weekend, we had like 269. So it was, you know, quite a bit more than action than there was in May. And the May race was good. So again, there's all kinds of different ways to analyze what a race looks like. But we were certainly satisfied with the way the weekend went. Working with NASCAR, it's there's a lot of moving parts, which is funny. Behind the scenes, people might realize or not realize, but like when our race is done, we got to get off pit road quickly, and they got to come on pit road quickly because there's about a 15 or 20 minute window before they start, and they have to do their pre-race driver anthems and introductions package, that type thing. So I think it was that number wasn't right, but we ended up getting. We did the swap in like 33 minutes, which we tried to do it in 30 minutes. So we were right there. So it was, you know, quite a testament to the Xfinity guys and our guys and, to make the swap. But it's fun to work with them. And again, as racers, we all set goals. And you're always trying to do everything faster than what you did before. So next year, we got to beat 33 minutes to get in and off pit road.
Did your background in NASCAR have any, was it of any help to you in this transition this weekend?
Remember, we did the same thing here last year, except there was nobody here. There was no fans. So, last year was different. We basically left and they came in. So we didn't really cross over as much with Cup, where this year was more where we intermingled and, you know, the series were around each other more often, that type of thing. So that was really cool. I mean, it was cool to, from a former NASCAR person perspective, you know, I was over 20 years in NASCAR. I love to walk around and see people and check on everybody. We're all so busy with what we're doing. You don't get a lot of time to catch up. So I did that a lot yesterday, right? You know, again, we were obviously done from an IndyCar perspective. So I walked around and saw a lot of old friends, and it was great to catch up and that type of thing.
Young kids are really coming up this year. They're really coming to the fore this year. And as I was down for driver introductions the other day, the public response to these young guys seems to be very positive.
Yeah.
They're already getting some pretty substantial fans.
Yeah. Oh, we have a phenomenal mix, I think, of veterans and younger drivers coming through the system right now. I mean, if you just look at the top, five in points, you just look at the top 10 in points, and the mix is spectacular, right? It's, the Scott Dixons of the world are still really, really good, and they're not going away anytime soon. And then you got the young guys coming up behind them, and to see the mix of what's going on is, it's really exciting. Even if you go back to the 500 where, Palou and Elio there at the end, I mean, there was some lessons being learned, I'm sure, right, about how to do it at the end. And I'm sure that's something Alex, going forward, will remember, right? I mean, but it's cool to see these. And we got such a great veteran group of drivers, both on and off the track, that it's great because they're teaching these younger drivers, the way you're supposed to do it on and off the track, right? So that's a great pipeline to have when you have veterans that care about the sport and care about the younger drivers coming up, to take them under their wing and explain, there's a proper way to do things. So, it's an exciting time.
I started looking at the final results of the 500 in May, and I was astounded at what I saw. Not only Elio winning his fourth, that was the overshadowing thing, but I started looking at the speeds, and every car still on the track was faster than Kanaan's record.
Yeah.
And you had, I forget how many, over 190.
I think there was, I'm just going for memory now, there was 12 or 13 records that the race had, the race beat. Some of them were unusual, and some of them were, it was the fastest field in history, and qualifying was the fastest race in the history. There was a lot of moments in that race, I mean, really good moments. Obviously a new four-time winner is a huge deal. We were really pleased about how it played out. A lot of pressure going into next year to do something like that again, but we worked really hard to get where we were this year. We did a lot of off-season testing with the cars, tires. Firestone did a great job. It ended up being a really good race.
Let's look ahead to next year. A lot of new stuff coming in next year.
The new stuff really starts in 23 going forward. Yeah, so we had a little bit of a delay because of COVID. So 23 will be the new engine. So next year will be kind of a gap where there will be a lot of testing of things for 23. But, again, you always are busy. If you think of in 2016, we started working on this five-year plan. In 17, we froze the kits. In 18, we came out with this new AK-18 car. Well, now this plan, actually, with the engine programs, go through 26 through 28. So there's a long runway. New engine comes in 23. How does that look like going up through 2028? So that's a lot of things that we work on right now. And in collaboration with the teams, we've got a great paddock, great manufacturers. Honda and Chevy do a phenomenal job. We want to make sure there's no surprises. So every time we do something, the teams can plan 2 or 3 years in advance. If we change something, there's always a 24-month window when it changes, unless it's a safety thing. So the teams can plan for that. They can, run through their inventories. There's things that from an economic perspective, that makes sense. From an on-track perspective, it makes a lot of sense, too.
You're going to hybrid power?
Yes.
How will that work? What charges the batteries?
Right. Well, we really haven't announced what we're doing yet. So I think when we announce what's going to happen, I think there'll be a wow factor to it. It's a pretty cool system. One of the things we wanted to make sure of when we did what we're doing, this series is fast, loud, authentic. This is who we are and what we do. Well, this hybrid system couldn't change our identity. So it's not going to change our identity anyway. There's some things that make it safer, where the drivers will be able to start the cars, especially on track when they spin, so it'll speed the race up. It'll keep our safety guys out of harm's way. It'll keep the drivers moving. Some other things we're working on with the system, too. So I think hopefully the next month or so we'll be able to lay out the whole program, how it's going to look. It's very safe. It's very powerful. It's something from a fan perspective. With the new 2.4-liter twin-turbo V6 that's coming out, the engines will be even louder. There won't be a different, sound is an important thing. You won't even hear the hybrid unit. The engine will overpower it all of that. So, we're excited. Hopefully in the next 30 days or so we'll be able to announce the whole program.
With the major manufacturers moving more and more toward total electric vehicles, do you see a time when the internal combustion engine will not be part of IndyCar?
Yeah, I don't personally. I think there's a balance and there's a place for everything. There's things we're working on with fuels, where they're more carbon neutral fuels. There's this hybrid system we're coming out. I think once we show it, I think people will be pretty impressed by, there's also a factor with electric vehicles. What do you do with the, when they're disposed of, or how does that work? What's next? So I think this platform that we've come up with is pretty cool, and it kind of checks lots of boxes. I don't think that will happen for a long, long time, a long time, or if it ever happens. Again, think about it, there's new technology that comes out every day, so 10 years from now, electric vehicles, there might be something else that's even better than that, because there's different issues with different things, so we'll see.
I've watched a little Formula E racing. I don't know if you have.
Yes.
Is that at all attractive to you?
Everybody's got, I think that's a technological play. That's something that's really important to the manufacturer to show what they can do. From a racing perspective, it's, there's some people, it's subjective or whatever. I guess people are, they have different opinions of it. I enjoy all racing, so there's things about it that I think is pretty cool. What they do. There's other things. I'm more of a fast and loud guy, so I miss that's part of that's missing. But again, it's very much of a technological play. And you look at what they've been able to do over the last 4 or 5 years, how the things are lasting longer before they're to swap cars and do different things. Well, it's in that regard, so it's working. They're learning things. It's helping with street cars, that type of thing.
The past interviews I've done with you, you've talked about hoping to see car counts go up in the regular races. You're there now, aren't you? You're 27, 28 cars.
Yeah. Well, that was, like I mentioned, it's that plan we come up with. The plan wanted to, it was important to create, recruit new owners to create, get the car count up, that type of thing. So, we're getting to the point where, it's strong. There's places we go that might be too strong, and there's places we go where pit road is limited. And again, a good problem to have. It's something we worked really hard on to get to this point. But there's it comes with challenges when you get the car count's getting where it's getting.
You hope to add a race next year, maybe?
The schedule should be out pretty soon. I think we're pretty comfortable with the amount of races we have. I think If you look at, it's funny, not funny, but the last couple of years, the schedule has moved so many times, you know, because of COVID and that type of thing. If you look back at the original 2021 schedule, the original one, going forward, it'll probably look, you know, a lot like that looked. Iowa was great. It's a great race, and we've had a lot of success there. I think over the years, there was a lot of, you know, date changes. There was a lot of, you know, time of race changes, you know, Saturday night races, Sunday afternoon races, that type of thing. So I think, to be fair, if we end up doing something again there, you know, we got to have some consistency, you know, on the race weekend, on the race times, that type of thing. The Iowa fans are great. You know, they were great. I remember a Saturday night race, and we got there, and there were people tailgating at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's that type of, you know, hardcore race fan. You know, it was awesome. So, you know, never say never, you know, but I mean, from a racing perspective, it was always a really good race.
But there needs to be some things done up there first before you can add that back to the
schedule. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, there's a lot of, it was transitioning a little bit, right, about what was going to happen with the facility or not and that type of thing. So a lot of that's got to be sorted out first.
You got to feel good about your TV contract.
Yeah, I mean, NBC's done,
they've done great work for you.
Yeah, NBC's been a phenomenal partner. You know, obviously very excited about the extension. You know, part of this weekend, I mean, NBC was a big player in that, right, bringing the two series together. Obviously, they're partners with both the Buzz and with NASCAR, so this was a way to showcase their motorsports, you know, properties. And we, I think it was 2018, they brought us all in and had a meeting, and it was great, you know, about how we could do things together and what, you know, how it would work. And then, you know, obviously it was 19 to 20 happened, and here we go, but... NBC's a great partner of ours in motorsports in general.
Talk about this partnership with NASCAR, as you had this weekend, partnering with IMSA, something like that. Do you see more partnerships like that somewhere in the future?
Well, I think this weekend was really good. Again, last year was probably a good test. You know, no fans, but we were able to do how we did it. We've ran with the trucks before. We're running with the trucks at Gateway, right?
Yeah.
So we've ran with ARCA before. So this is not anything that's really relatively completely new. It is when the Cup Series and IndyCar is together, or Xfinity and IndyCar together. I think it's something that you wouldn't do every week, obviously, but, you know, if you did it a couple, two or three times a year, it could be cool. Again, that's just me as a – I'm a race fan too, right? So to me, this weekend was cool. It was just cool. I mean, we were all together. It's, again, there's lots of friends. The genres are different. The cars are different. They race different. But it's what a great ticket is if you're a race fan. You saw all that. You know, it's just you know, our cars are. I mean, the way an Indy car runs on that course is much different than a Cup car. But they're supposed to be different. So yeah,
it felt good yesterday.
Yeah,
just walking around with the crowd and everything else.
Yeah.
It just felt good.
Yes. Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. Not funny, haha. I don't know what the right word's funny. Peculiar funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, or last weekend in Nashville, you know, it was packed. You know, yesterday it felt normal, right? And then, you know, you come home and you read, you know, there's a lot of things going on with this Delta variant now. So it's like, now what's that? What's that going to look like? What do we got to do next? I mean, last year we were making decisions on Thursday evenings about what we were doing for that weekend, that, you know, the coming weekend. So, you know, we can plug and play many, many different ways when we go to venues, how we operate. So we hope not. You know, like this weekend, it seemed really great. It seemed normal. And, you know, that's what we're hoping we can continue to do.
Last thing I want to explore with you, you've got more than a year now with Roger Penske in charge of things.
Yeah.
What has he brought to the sport, to the Speedway, to IndyCar generally?
Yeah. Well, he brings – it's hard to describe in – what he brings, everything. I've been fortunate enough to know him for 25, 30 years. You know, you look at everything he's involved with, it's, you know, if he's going to do it, he's going to do it right. And everything he does right. You know, and he, you know, it's amazing what he's done throughout his lifetime, you know, what he's built and what he's done and, you know, the respect he has in the business world, the motorsports world. He's a complete pleasure to be around. You know, and it's funny, part of this is not new because before he bought into this or bought this, I talked to him often, right? As a team owner, right? What about this? How does this work? What do you think? You know, get his advice, get his opinion, guidance, you know? So, you know, now it's awesome because he's around us more, right? So it's more natural. You know, you just around, hey, what do you think about this? Or, so it's been, No, it's just been great. I mean, again, it's everything. We're, you know, proud, very, very proud of the partner that he's here, obviously, and it just creates lots of opportunities for the future.
The last thing I want to mention, maybe I should ask Donald Davidson this, but he was always going places when I saw him the other day. Will this be, with the hybrid cars coming in and the starters on the cars, will this be the first time in the history of IndyCar, going back to 1909, that these cars have not started with some kind of an external crank?
That would be a great question for him. I believe so. But I'm sure at some point along the way there was one. Yeah, right? Maybe, right?
Maybe back in the Depression when they were running almost stock cars.
Who knows? Right, yeah, correct. Yeah.
But I just thought of that this morning.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. It's been for a long, long time, yes.
Yeah.
Right. So, again, what we'll probably do next year, or 23, they'll probably start like they do now with starters when they leave, when pit road, right? Because what will happen is the hybrid unit will create this charge.
Yeah.
So it should be charged before the race starts.
Yeah.
But there's a tradition to, right? There's a way we start the cars as we go. So where they'll start is when they spin on the track. It'll give the drivers an opportunity to drive off and keep the race going. Again, keep the safety team safer, you know, keep the drivers safer. So that'll be the part that's visible to a fan, right? So we keep the history and the tradition of the starters. Something happens on course, you can fire them up and drive off. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
It works on NASCAR's cars.
Right,
yeah. Saw that many times yesterday.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, they've had them forever. So, yeah, it's unique to us because we haven't done it, right? But other series obviously do it all the time. But it's cool because the hybrid unit, I mean, it is the starter, right? So you have the hybrid, which does what it does, but then it also creates an opportunity to start the car, which is great. So you don't have to have a starter because that just adds weight, you know, that type of thing. So.